This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Hey everybody, welcome to This Week in Sports. I'm your host, Cowboy. I'm here with my co-host, the man you all know and love, the guy who really keeps things going on this show. I'm really only here to tee things up for him so you can get his analysis, because my predictions are, I'm right in line with my Boston crony, Paul Pierce. So don't listen to the last show if you, you know, unless you want to hear someone predict something that's not going to happen. But anyway, John D'Amato joins me. John, what's going on?
Hey, all right. And unlike the NBA season, we're on a pretty good schedule here. Trying to stick to the bi-weekly.
Bi-weekly, yes.
Yeah, with the NBA with a lot of breaks in between. The finals will be starting tomorrow, and who knows? And they may if it goes to Game 7, which is Father's Day, 2 weeks, a lot of breaks with the. With the travel and the 2-2-1-1-1 format, so we get it popping. And yeah, forget about the predictions.
So how does it feel? How does it feel to be co-hosting a podcast with the true Nostra Doofus?
Well, I mean, it's more fun when nobody likes a know-it-all. So if we said, you know, Golden State, Milwaukee, and nobody likes a know-it-all. Nobody likes guys that pat on the back and are always right and all that. It's more fun when it's less predictable. So it was a nice surprise that the Bucks got in there, which we'll get into.
If you're looking for someone to not be right, this is your show. So unceremoniously, I picked the Bucks were up 2-0 on Toronto, and I came in here loud and proud, said they're not only winning this series, they're winning the finals, and their next win is actually going to come in 2020.
It was shocking. I was just like, come on, let's just get the semis over with. But, you know, I gave the Raptors one game, and I was off on that one too.
But let's talk about that one. Let's talk about that series. So, really, really, really great. If you like basketball and you like adjustments, so the Raptors go down 2-0. And the Bucks look like world beaters. I mean, I don't think either one of us were off base talking about how great the Bucks look. They were playing phenomenal. One little adjustment of taking Kawhi Leonard, putting him on Giannis, and basically daring everybody on the Bucks to shoot. Right?
Yeah, nobody and nobody on the Bucks kind of stepped up. The moment was kind of too big for the Brogdons and the Middletons, etc. Other than Brooke Lopez and George Hill, there was nobody else to step up.
And even those guys, like, I mean, it was just, I've never, I mean, Kawhi's incredible. We'll talk at length about him. But I've never seen, I guess the last time I saw a series turn like that was the finals where the Mavericks beat the Heat, where the Heat went up 2-0. And then the Mavs won 4 in a row, and it was just like the same kind of thing by game five. Like, the Bucks just looked completely befuddled. In game six, I mean, they're up 15, and I mean, I was watching the game. I had no confidence that they could hold on to the lead. They weren't even playing good. You know, Toronto just couldn't throw it in the ocean. And it's just they were such a good team all season long, and offensively to just, I mean, they really fell apart. And I mean. To me, this is like a little bit of an indictment on Bud. I like Bud, but you gotta have a plan B, right? You gotta have a plan B if put the guys around Giannis and they're gonna get open shots. If they're missing, you have to do something else. I mean, their advantage in the series, I think, that they had that they didn't really exploit is they could go a lot bigger than Toronto, and they just never ever did it. They kept playing those guards who essentially lost the series for them. I mean, Bledsoe was terrible, and Middleton came up small. He's just not a guy who can really create his own shot. And Brogdon, to your point, I mean, I know he's coming off an injury, but he came up small. It's, you know, Lopez is the only guy who really showed a pulse. Like, you would think they would have maybe tried to go big, try to beat him up down low a little bit, but it was just a really, really stunning turn of events for me, for them on offense. And I mean, I think you have to credit Toronto's defense in a big way. Kawhi's incredible. But what do you think? Do you think that, like, watching those games, that there should have been some kind of answer from the Bucks when plan A stopped working?
Yeah, but the guys he relies on, they're going to thrive in the regular season. You know, if somebody like Ilyasova is going to come off the bench and put up 25 versus the Knicks, no problem in February. But the playoffs is a different ballgame. Although he was one of the few that when they made that, when they took that big lead, it was Ilyasova had a great game off the bench. But otherwise, the guys you're relying on, it basically just came down to a make a miss. But the real key fact, I think, is Giannis kind of got exposed as is limited offensively from the outside. That, you know, they're in the playoffs. You can't just drive to the hoop every time, and especially versus a team like the Raptors, who are the superior, one of the best defensive teams in the league. Not you know, and Kawhi, who's their best player and also their best defender, but not too far behind is, you know, Ibaka, Siakam, guys like that are also great defenders. So
Giannis had a great defender too.
Yes, Giannis had to work for everything, and he kind of got exposed, and he'll probably win the MVP, but it's going to turn out to be a Karl Malone type MVP, where when it came down to the series, he was by far the second best player in the series.
So I agree with the second take, right, that he was, that clearly Kawhi was the best player in the series. I think exposed is a little bit harsh. I don't think anyone thought that he's a guy, right now at least, who's going to be able to create good shots. He's not a great outside shooter. You know, he's not a great outside shooter. He shot the three pretty good for him in this series, but he's not a guy who really creates his own shots, you know, in the flow of the half court offense. It's just not his thing yet. I think he's a kid. I mean, I think he's 25, right? The scary thing with him is he does still have room to grow. If he can develop a bit of a post game, and if he can develop a more consistent, you know, kind of off the dribble pull up jumper, I mean, he's going to be even more unstoppable. But you look at all the great ones, and they all had, you know, they all had series like this when they were kids, right? Like, you know, even a guy like Jordan, you know, couldn't get past the Celtics and stuff until he was a little bit older. Giannis is still a baby, and I think he's gonna grow into becoming an even better player than he is today. But it did show that, as presently constructed, that they didn't have that guy. You need a guy in the playoffs. Like, Kawhi is that guy for Toronto. Like, in Game 7 against the Sixers, he took 46 shots. He's a guy, he can create his own shot, regardless of the defense. Like, you know, Paul Pierce was a guy like that. The Bucks don't have a guy like that. And when shit got tough in this series, they didn't have a guy who could create a good shot for himself. And that really, I think, kind of cost them the series. But I'm not ready to pour dirt on Giannis as a top three guy in the league and potential like top 15 or 20 guy all time. Yeah, I mean, he's just a baby.
Next year is going to be quite interesting. If they don't make it to the finals again, will he get frustrated? And that's his walk year. Will he get frustrated and do like everybody else and, you know, either join, you know, the Lakers, Golden State, etc.? Or will he hang in there? It's going to be interesting to see next year.
I think, I mean, if it goes down like it did this year, where, I mean, they do have a little bit of that, like, LeBron's first run with the Cavs sort of team they've paid some guys a lot of money who are not really worth that much money. Like, Bledsoe's contract didn't look terrible when he signed it, but it's $70 million for that guy. And, you know, Middleton's a free agent, right? They're going to have to lock him up. I mean, I don't think there's anyone better than him out there. And it does sort of have that look of a team where you have the superstar surrounded by a bunch of overpaid like fourth bananas.
Yeah.
So if it goes like this again, where they don't get out of they can't make the finals, and it's pretty much because the other guys can't make open jump shots. I think he could potentially walk, even though I feel like he's not that kind of guy. I think he also is like really wants to win, right? Like where he would turn down, you know, I don't know. I mean, you know, the difference in the max contracts from what the Bucks can offer to what another team could offer. I mean, it's significant, but at the end of the day, I mean, he's still going to make $200 million, right? And he may walk. He could walk. I think it would be very, very interesting. But I don't think it would be to go to like some glamour city to build his brand or anything like that. I think if he walked, he would just want to go somewhere where he, you know, would they gave him the best chance to win.
Right. Yeah. Who knows? Maybe that could be New Orleans.
And, you know, Zion and Giannis.
You never know.
I don't know, though. I don't know about those two guys together. I always have issues too many guys out there who can't shoot.
Yeah, same type player, sure.
You know, Zion and Anthony Davis would be a great combination. You know, Anthony Davis can shoot.
Yeah.
But, yeah, interesting offseason for the Bucks. I think they don't have much of a choice but to kind of run it back. Giannis said as much already. He wants to run it back. He loves these guys. And they were really, really good. But you do have to worry that... And, I mean, the Celtics sort of gave you the blueprint in Game 1 before they fell apart. They played that same kind of defense that Toronto's played, where they set up the wall and just said, you know, Giannis is not going to beat us going to the basket. And you got to worry, is that blueprint out now? Is this going to be a team kind of like Toronto was before Kawhi, where, you know, phenomenal in the regular season, get to the playoffs, and they just, you know, there's just something missing. I think it's possible.
Yeah, but also we got to give a lot of credit to the Raptors. Like I said before, they have tremendous defenders. You're not going to face a team like that every year with the Ibaka, Siakam, Gasol, like you said, just tremendous defender. Even Lowry,
defensive player.
Yes, he got crapped on because, you know, all those years as the number one or two with DeRozan, they couldn't get it done. But now he's just finding his niche as a two or three guy, which is perfect for him. You know, especially
he's just a very very solid. I mean, he's a really good point guard and just a very offensively can distribute. Doesn't have to score to impact the game. And he's one of the better defensive point guards in the league, which we'll talk about when we break down the upcoming matchup. But yeah, all credit to the Raptors. And really, what Kawhi did is really incredible. Both rounds. I mean, he is, you know, you knew when he was in San Antonio, I mean, he's got a finals MVP. And you knew he was a great player. But I think there was always that little hint of, How much of it is Pop's system, right?
And also, yeah, Duncan, yeah. You
know. Pop's system, Duncan. I mean, but for him to leave and go to this team that has fallen short year after year after year, and really, I mean, he has been bar none the best player in the playoffs. It's not even close, honestly. Both ends of the floor, playing hurt and still playing good. I mean, he's got such a high basketball IQ, and he's athletic. But even like when he was playing hurt, like he's still a great player, hurt because of that high basketball IQ. And when he's not hurt, he's, you know, that dunk he threw down on Giannis was just freaking ridiculous. I mean, it was what an awesome play. And I mean, it's tough. We'll talk about the. It's tough. It's tough to count them out with the way he's playing against anybody. And I know the deck is stacked against them a little bit in the finals, but he is really. I mean, he's doing like LeBron James-esque stuff with a better supporting cast around him. He's got some real players around him that you know, that you mentioned in Lowry and Gasol and Siakam and Ibaka every other game. And, it's, you know, they're dangerous. They're dangerous because of him.
And another big key to the series was Milwaukee was supposed to have more depth and a better bench, but Powell and Van Vliet off the bench for Toronto were huge.
Yeah, Van Vliet. So he's like the. I mean, that shows that a guy getting. I mean, he's a good player, but a guy getting hot at the right time like that can really swing a series. I mean. Because if the Bucks had somebody, I mean, Van Vliet couldn't miss the last three games of the series.
That's what I'm saying. You never know. Like some guys, you know, could put up 30 in February versus Charlotte, whatever. But you never know who's that guy that's going to come off that bench and can hit the open shot to make or miss league. And some guys, the moment becomes too big. You know, for most of the Bucks, it was where just there was a cover on the rim, but for Van Vliet, ice water in his veins. His first playoff was last year where he came up short, but this year he came up aces and Powell too. Powell too was tremendous.
Something happened like mid series, right? Did Van Vliet, was his kid born or did he get engaged? It was something like that, and like that coincided with him just going completely crazy. You know?
I'm not sure exactly.
Yeah. He like I saw it somewhere. But unreal. Unreal. So the other series, there's not a whole lot to talk about. the Warriors without KD continued their just incredible run without KD. Yeah, so Van Vliet, I just looked it up. Van Vliet, kid was born right in the middle of a series, and like that coincided with him going from not being able to shoot well to just making everything in sight. So pretty cool.
That's a great story.
Yeah. Yeah. Look it up. It was like the stats were just ridiculous. Like, I mean, he was literally, his kid was born and boom, he was the best shooter in the NBA.
Yeah. That one slipped by me. You know, the 19 Drake stories, unfortunately, don't slip by me. I wish I would catch that instead of having to look at stupid Drake.
He's a super fan.
Yeah. He's super something. Right.
I know. I read today that the NBA actually like talked to him, right?
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
About getting too involved.
Uh-huh.
Which he should just be a fan, right? Not like in the huddle. But
yeah.
Anywho, we don't want to let that detract from Toronto's win. But again, going back to the Warriors, Durant goes down. The team's playing with the giant chip on their shoulder since Durant went down. Sweep the Blazers. I think if you look a little deeper, I mean, into the series, the Blazers were like up in almost every game and blew the leads. And I mean, I know Golden State, especially like this version of Golden State, kind of reminds you of the 73 win team where they would just go on these runs. And that's what they're doing. But they have, I mean, I think it's ridiculous to say they're better without Kevin Durant. I don't think that's true. I think they're playing great. I think they're a great team, but they're definitely better with Kevin Durant. I don't think my feeling from everything I've read and kind of what it looked like is I don't think he's coming back. I mean, I don't think he's going to play in the finals. Maybe if they go down, you know, 3-2 or something, maybe he'll try to come back. But I think he seems like he's still pretty far away. And I think this injury was a little worse than they're letting on. So, I mean, at the very least, at least for the beginning of the finals, they're going to have to do it without him. And everybody's picking him. And there's some matchups here that I think bode fairly well for Toronto, but what are you thinking there, John? What do you think about one? What were your feelings on the Warriors-Blazers series? Do you think it was like super impressive by the Warriors, or they kind of got away? They got away with a couple of couple of games that they could have lost. Kind of the Blazers more lost it than the. What do you think?
No, it was super impressive, and not necessarily that they played better without KD. I will say that definitely Draymond Green plays better without KD, and he's just, and he also had a great quote after one of the games where he said, you know, I'm finally, you know, I've been acting like a knucklehead. He's admitted, and you know, he's trying to calm down with the nonsense and the arguing with the refs and you know, and the technicals and the flagrants and all that, and he really opened up and he realized, now talk is cheap. He might go out tomorrow night and go back to kneeing somebody in the nuts again, but because I don't trust him. I don't think he's all the way back, but you know, the fact that he acknowledged it and said it, that was, you know, that's a big step, because I love the way he plays. I just don't like the other shenanigans, makes it hard to root for him. But he was just he just takes over the game, dominate, and just you know, easy triple double in all facets of the game, and if he continues like that, and I hate speculating on whether, you know, KD is going to be back for Game 3 and whether Cousins is going to be back. That's just all up in the air, and that's stuff that only they know, and you know, the medical staff knows, and they're keeping that close to the vest. So they're pretty much going to move on without him, and I still think that they could do it. And it's also, it's shocking. I'm sure many people are surprised that Toronto's got the home court advantage by one game. It just proves that, you know, a lot of those meaningless games in April aren't so meaningless. Because that's the only way that Toronto could pull the upset is if by getting the home kid. Yeah, by I think they need to take the only chance is they need to take the first two. Which I don't think is going to happen. You know, I don't want to spoil it, but we'll get into that. But they need to grab the first two to have any chance, because GS gets a sweep, gets a split. I think they take it the next two and go up 3-1.
Good chance of it. So let's take a look at, and then I agree on Draymond. He's been fantastic. I mean, he's, you know. There was some question as to whether he still had that in him. I mean, he did not have a great season. And when they've needed him to be more involved on offense without Durant, I mean, he's more than stepped up. And he's such a leader that, you know, he's just a great player. Just a great, great player. So let's see, you know, if you look at the matchups, the point guard matchup's pretty interesting. Lowry versus Steph Curry. Obviously, you give Curry the advantage, but Lowry is a very good defensive player, and Curry is not as good of a defensive player. So I think this is a real key for the Raptors to have a chance, is they need Lowry to be good, like especially offensive. Like they need him to do to play well offensively. He's been very trick or treat offensively in the playoffs, and he's got some good momentum going. With the last three games in the Bucks series, 25, 17, and 17. So I think that's their first key. Is now he's not going to match Curry, but he just can't get completely obliterated by Curry for them to have a chance.
Yeah, they're going to give different looks, though. I wouldn't be surprised to see Kawhi guarding Curry a lot. You can't just go... you know, one-on-one, because they're gonna be flexible. Agreed. With the matchups. And also, on the other hand, Golden State, too. I think you'll see Clay will mostly be guarding Kawhi, and then they might switch to Draymond if one guy gets dominant or one guy gets into foul trouble. Both coaches are going to have a lot of flexibility, and especially Toronto, guys like Siakam, Ibaka, they could guard anybody from the guards to big men, so... It's going to be interesting dynamic how the defensive matchup shape up when one guy starts dominating, and how they adjust.
Yeah, agreed. But I mean, both Clay and Draymond are obviously both really, really good defensive players. I think, you know, I agree with you that it'll be mostly Clay with Draymond kind of maybe late in the game. You really need a stop. You put Draymond on him. But the Warriors, Looney is a big key to this series. I mean, he's been really good. And the Raptors are big, right? The Raptors have Gasol. You've mentioned these guys, Gasol and Siakam and Kawhi. These are all, and Ibaka. These are all pretty, you know, pretty big athletic guys. And the Warriors really only have kind of one guy like that with KD hurt, right? And it's Looney. So he's going to have to come up big. The Raptors, I mean, you have to think Kawhi is going to be incredible, right? I mean, there's nothing. I mean, I think he scored 37 points in the game he played against Golden State this year. So he's gonna be great, and it's just a matter of the other guys stepping up. Because you know, on the Golden State side, Curry, you know, one of Curry or Clay every game are gonna be unstoppable, and sometimes it's both of them. You know, Draymond is gonna bring it, and for the Raptors, their other guys other than Kawhi have been inconsistent in the playoffs. Like Siakam had taken a big, big step back, played a little better in the last couple of games against Milwaukee. Gasol hasn't been that good. Ibaka has been either really good or just terrible. Lowry, same thing. It would be really helpful for them if Van Fleet could keep it up, but I mean, you can't expect the guy to keep shooting 75% from three. So I think it's a really, really interesting series. One thing that you mentioned earlier that I think we should talk about is depth, and how Toronto wasn't looked at as a deep team, but that some of those end of the bench guys, or, you know, eighth, ninth guys like Powell, Van Fleet, really carried them through against Milwaukee. The one thing about Golden State is they're not deep, right? I mean, Jordan Bell played pretty good in the last series, but you know, Quinn Cook is not very good. McKinney's not very good. I mean, they're really like about a 5 or 6 man team, and one of those guys is Iguodala, who they can't play that much, because obviously you saw him play. You know, when he really went pedal to the floor, in against Houston, he was dinged up against Portland.
So, yeah, but the long rest and there's sometimes three days between games, so that'll help out the older players. It'll also help out Kawhi too, who's going to be going 45 to 48 minutes, and he's banged up, so that'll help out. And Golden State has those guys, but the guys like Bell, you know, they could give a good 4 or 5 minutes before they get exposed. And also for Toronto, they got a OG coming back, Anunoby,
potentially.
Right. He was a big player. Yeah, he was a big cog for them off the bench. But kind of like the same player, kind of like Ibaka, Siakam, you know, scrappy. Yeah. Siakam, you know, his scoring went way south, but he still chips in with the rebounds and the defense. But yeah, but right now he can't even put it in. Like that play at the end of the game where the refs had to stop it because he missed the dunk so bad that the refs thought it was a 24-second violation. well, luckily, he wrapped the rim. And then I thought for sure he got fouled. I thought for sure he was going to brick both the twos and give Milwaukee a chance for
me
the title game.
Me too. I thought the exact same thing.
He nailed the first one. Yeah, he nailed the first. Yeah, because he had an open. He was wide open underneath, and he missed it so bad that the refs called a 24-second. The refs didn't even see him hit the rim, but he – So yeah, he's a little shaky on offense, but still, it's not hurting his scrappiness and you know, which is defense and rebounding.
Danny Green's a guy much maligned right now. I mean, he was really bad, but he does have finals experience and has been good in the finals before. You know, they could use him to play well.
Sure, with the Spurs in the series that got away, the Ray Allen series, he might have been an MVP candidate for that series. So.
Agreed.
He was on fire. If he could get a shot back, that's another weapon that they're going to need.
All right, so before we make our predictions, we're going to take a little break here, and I'm going to talk to you about some of the other things we have going on here at Place to Be Nation. John, feel free to jump in if you have any comments, okay?
So, of course.
All right. So first, on the PTBN Pop Feed, that's where you can find us this week in sports. After a 2-year hiatus, Dadcast is back with JT and Don talking a variety of annoyances, including potty training, lying, Nickelodeon shows, and more. This is a good one. I don't listen to everything, but I listen to this one. And if you've got little ones, or if you're just looking for a couple of funny guys, this is a good show. Next up, Talkin' Pop is back, and Tim and Jenny are joined by Steve and Kelly of Songs with Friends for a very special double date and lots of interesting conversation.
That was tremendous. I listened to that one. I got me through a nice road trip through some Connecticut traffic. That was.
It must be good. It must be good to make you not worry about Connecticut traffic.
Steve and Kelly, my favorite power couple. Good peeps.
Speaking of Connecticut, Andy Atherton welcomes Jenny Smith into the Laugh-In Theater to watch and talk about the iconic Jim Carrey and Jeff Daniels film Dumb and Dumber. It's one of my favorites. The hard-traveling fanboys deliver an installment of Countdown, looking at Avengers, Earth's Mightiest Heroes. I don't know too much about comics, but sounds pretty good. And lastly, our sister podcast, I guess you could call it, the NBA team, stopped in to talk about the Pelicans hitting the draft lottery jackpot and what it means for the franchise. So give a listen to Andrew and Adam. They're great guys, and they really know their stuff. So be sure to keep an eye on our social media feeds as the reboot of the Greatest Song of the 80s tournament is starting soon. Then over on the wrestling feed, the PTBN wrestling feed, in the fifth episode of Row One, Seat One, we are all about music as Ben Zaney and a gaggle of guests talk touring the country with prominent 90s bands, hardcore music, and wrestling, of course. The Boston Bruins Stanley Cup run, as Ben is originally a Massachusetts guy, like myself, so he'll give you, we don't do hockey here on This Week in Sports, so if you're looking for a hockey fix, give Ben's podcast a listen. Next, Chris Zellner and Devin Hales returned for the Money in the Bank 2019 reaction show. I actually listened to this right out on my way home, not on my way home from the show, but the next morning. Great listen. Those guys do a great job. And lastly, Scott Criscolo, Nate Milton, and Steve Willey have previewed Double or Nothing on the newest edition of Main Event. I listened to a bit of this as well, and if you've already seen Double or Nothing, so be it. But it's still a good show. Nate and Steve and Scott, know their stuff.
They can have a recap of it up this week. I think they're recording at the same time as we are. So
awesome. And lastly, check out our social media pages and message board at www.bigelow34.proboards.com for information on joining our greatest wrestler ever, pay-per-view and TV match ever project. Get in on the conversation today and start researching your list. So, we have a lot of good content here at Place to Be Nation. That's really just the tip of the iceberg. But you listen to all those and check back with John and I, we'll give you 8 or 9 more on our next bi-weekly show. Am I right, buddy?
Of course.
All right, so we've come to that time in the podcast that I've begun to dread. So for any of you gamblers out there, what I would suggest, based on track record here, is listen to what I say and then just bet the farm the other way. Just go the other way. I haven't been right in a while. John does better than me, but we're not batting 1,000 here. So I'm going to go to you first, John. Here's what I want. I want winner. I want number of games. I want MVP. And I want unsung hero on either team. Guy that nobody's really talking about who's going to step up and either win a game or potentially win the series for their team.
All right, I'm going with the Warriors in 6. Kind of a boring, not exciting, not a daring prediction, but the Warriors are going to get a split, and then they're going to take the next two, and then they'll, with the 2-1-1 format, they'll win it in 6. Draymond Green is going to be your MVP, continuing Curry's streak as one of the greatest players of all time to win multiple championships and not win an MVP, just the luck of the draw there. But the Draymond's going to emerge, and Kevin Looney is going to be an unsung guy, getting a lot of loose balls, playing tight defense, rebounds, etc. Being that X factor, that scrappy guy that where all the other guys are scoring, he's going to be making the unsung plays.
All right. All right. Went with the chalk there, John. You went with the chalk. Lincoln the Wonder Dog here, the official mascot of this week in the NFL, just walked in, giving me the sad eyes. But don't worry, buddy. We'll let you out soon.
He must be hungry.
He's always hungry, John. That's what he does. He's been doing this for the last 3 days. I come home and he's been like rifling through the trash while I'm out. He's lucky we love him. He's going to be 13, and you know he's still going strong. This guy, so it's all you can ask for, right, buddy?
I think Mr. Crescola had the same problem when he used to get home with somebody's rifling through his trash.
Yes, absolutely, but you know, not nearly as you know, clean or solid an individual as Lincoln. Anyway, we're happy that national nightmare has come to an end. So, my predictions. I really want to pick Toronto. I really do. But I'm not going to. I'm also going to say Warriors in six. I'm going to say that Curry gets the monkey off his back, wins the MVP. I'm going to predict that Durant does not come back and that Durant has played his last game in Golden State already. Unsung hero, I'm going to go to the other team and I'm going to say Danny Green is going to step up and win a game for the Raptors. He's going to redeem himself after that piss poor conference finals. And I feel like the margin for the Warriors is razor thin. I think you kind of have to go with the chalk just based on track record. But I really like some of the matchups for Toronto. And I really like, obviously, the way Kawhi is playing. And it wouldn't shock me at all if they can pull it out, especially with that seventh game in Toronto. But I probably just doom the Warriors. I'm the one guy who can beat them. But that's
yeah, me it. Too. I hope we're both wrong. And really, at Toronto with their their multiple guys that could play that defense like that, they could stop those Warrior runs that are such killers. Those 20-4 Warrior runs that they use to pull away in these games. So it could happen, but. Still, I don't see it, man. It's tough to go against the Warriors.
It is. It is. So, those are our predictions. Wanted to talk about one more thing. What do you think about... Do you think Kawhi win or lose? Let me give you... They lose in six. Is he back in Toronto?
Win or lose, unfortunately, for Raptors fans, if there are any that listen. Uncle Dennis has him going to the Clippers, I think. I think it's a lock for the Clippers.
Even if they win the title.
Yeah, yeah.
It's tough. Yeah. I tend to agree. He's kind of a different guy, you know?
Yeah.
He's very, very, you know, he's very guarded, and he just strikes me as the type that, like, even winning it, like, it's not like he doesn't strike me as the type who would get caught up in the emotion of winning it. But I think.
Yeah, there's still a bad taste in my mouth for what he did with that. Even though the Spurs, they won enough. You know, yeah, you don't shed a tear for them. But what he did that last year with the Spurs was a little salty. I didn't like, you know. Agreed. If he was hurt, okay. But yeah, I don't like the non-communication. And it looked like he just basically quit on him, yeah.
It was a very kind of a Vince Carter way to go out of, San Antonio. Yeah, and it's weird, right? I mean, no one's ever done that. With everybody loves playing for the Spurs. So he's kind of the guy who marches to the beat of his own drum. Raptors fans, how do you think they view him? Say we're right. Say they lose in six and he bolts. Do you think there's bitterness?
No, I agree. None whatsoever because he's the only one that can get him to the finals, so.
And they're good fans. They're good fans, and he's played hurt. He has not dogged it at all. I mean, he's giving 110% out there, and
They don't even get close to it. You saw what they did in the past playoffs with what they had. They don't even come close to the finals. This is a watershed moment for them. So they're gonna enjoy it no matter what. Even if God forbid they get swept or whatever, they'll thank him for the 1 year, and then they'll hope to rebuild or whatever. But there'll be no bitterness whatsoever.
Right, I agree, John. So I think that wraps us up for NBA. We'll be back in a couple of weeks with we'll talk about how the finals went, and we'll start. I mean, it's almost time to start talking football again, John.
Yeah, but I got my eyes on June 30th before football. June 30th, 6 p.m. We'll probably have to do a show on July 1st after the big free agency announcements.
Oh, absolutely. And we have some UFC coming up that we can talk about.
That's right. Somebody's going to Vegas, I think, I heard.
I am, yes. John Jones. It's my 40th birthday present to myself. I feel like I've earned it. You know what I mean, John?
You're going to go see Greg Hardy. That's great.
He's not on that card.
Yeah, I think he just got ahead of it.
Did he really?
Yeah.
Well, I'll try not to piss him off at a blackjack table or anything late at night. It's a great card. It's a great card that we're seeing. I don't see Hardy on there yet, but maybe
I thought I saw something.
No, I'm sure you're right. But my goal for the weekend, I'm a big Amanda Nunes fan. I love her. She's probably my favorite fighter. I mean, I think she's just so good. I would like to run into Amanda Nunes and get a picture with Amanda Nunes somewhere in Vegas. So that's going to be my goal for the weekend.
All right. Hopefully the morning after she lays out Joanna. All right.
Holly Holm. She's fighting Holly Holm.
I thought it was, I'm sorry. Yeah.
It's a really good fight. But of course, we'll have time to preview that. Anthony Joshua is fighting Andy Ruiz this weekend for you boxing fans. I know Calvin listens. I think Ruiz is a much liver underdog than anyone will say. I don't think necessarily that he's going to win, but I think he does have a chance. What do you got, John? Anything?
Nah, we're good. I'm just what's the next Wilder fight is.
He's fighting, it got announced yesterday, he's fighting King Kong Ortiz again.
Yeah, they're stalling on Joshua, and they're stalling on, they're stretching Tyson it out, Fury. The Fury rematch, yeah.
Ortiz thing is, I think he's nuts fighting him. He almost lost to him. The guy hits like a ton of bricks. I mean, he had Wilder like one punch away from being out. So I think it's a very, that's the thing that happens a lot, which with boxing is.
Yeah, they stole the big fights, and then
but
sometimes
then a guy
we don't even get
loses.
Them.
Then somebody loses, and the fight's not as big. You know what I mean? Like they, with, obviously Pacquiao Mayweather, but with, there was one back in the day, Juan Manuel Lopez and, Yuriorkis Gamboa. And Bob Arum had the, went on HBO and, when they asked him about putting these two guys were both like top five pound for pound, same weight division. He said, we're going to let it marinate. And they let it marinate, and Wanma got knocked out cold in his next fight. It was never the same, and the two guys never fought each other. So you have to, and like Pacquiao Mayweather happened 5 years too late. It was not as good of a fight because of that. Joshua and Wilder is the biggest fight you can make in boxing. Errol Spence and Terrence Crawford is a close second, and it's a sad state of affairs that it doesn't look like either one will get done like in the next 18 months.
Yeah, that's what's so frustrating about, that's why you can only be so much of a boxing fan. I mean, you stay hardcore, but you want to see these fights sooner rather than later.
Well, that's one thing the UFC does very well is they don't give anybody soft touches, So yeah, good stuff, John. A little boxing talk. I could do a whole podcast on that. No one would listen, unfortunately. Well, my friend, I hope to see you. I will potentially see you on Saturday at NXT TakeOver. I may be a late addition. If not, I hope you guys have a great time. And to our listeners, as I always say, and I hope you enjoyed the show, please reach out to us however you can communicate with us via the live chats, via the message board, via our instant messenger, carrier pigeon, whatever. Reach out to us. Let us know what you want to talk about. Let us know if you want to come on the show. We're wide open here. We're wide open. It's an open format, so we would be happy to have whoever on any with a little bit of knowledge. So that's that. We'll be back in a couple of weeks. So, John, we're out, buddy.
Okay.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Place to Be Nation's JT Rosero and Chad Campbell here. We want to let you know that we have over 24 podcasts available on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and PlaceToBeNation.com. We now offer them to you on two great feeds. On the Place to Be Nation wrestling feed, we dive into topics running the gamut from today's WWE to the glory days of yesteryear and the ins and outs of the territory days. In addition to our full-length shows, we also deliver to you special pod blasts on topics old and new.
The Place to Be Nation pop feed is a veritable treasure trove of great content. Offer tremendous shows covering the land of movies, television, life, comics, and sports, brought to you by the most knowledgeable and insightful folks in the podcast world.
You can find all these great shows, plus archives of our past podcasts from over the past 8 years as well by subscribing to both feeds on iTunes. And while you're there, be sure to rate and leave feedback as well. All of these shows, plus others, available on PlaceToBeNation.com, where we cover pro wrestling, sports, movies, comics, plus in-depth stretch projects, and much more. Be sure to support our site by using www.PlaceToBeNation.com/Amazon when doing your online shopping. We want to thank our friends at Boneheads, Wing Bar, ProWrestlingOnly.com, and TheHistoryOfWrestling.com as well. Be sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Tumblr. PlaceToBeNation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture.